I had an uncle who used to say, the only kind of criticism, I don't like positive criticism, I don't like negative criticism. The only kind of criticism I like is praise. So my name is Kevin Danner. I work with Global Exchange. I'm one of the co-founders. We started back in 1988. And what we try to do is comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, sort of. We see our role as educating people in the United States about what's really going on in the world, not like Fox and CNN are trying to make you believe that it's this big scary place, everybody's out to get you. Oh, there's all this terrorism, all this stuff to keep you under the bed at night and cringing and fear and ignorance. No, that's not what it's about. It's about, Dr. Martin Luther King had a great phrase. He said, what was going to win in the end would be unarmed truth and unconditional love. You just meditate on those few words for about an hour. Unarmed truth and unconditional love. Not the little love that two people, you know, those Bergman films. Two people build an island of happiness in a sea of misery. No, big love. Nobody left out. If you rent the video Titanic, and at that part where the ship is sinking, and the half-filled lifeboats with the rich people in them are pulling away from those hundreds of poor souls, freezing to death in the water, and you stop that video and you say to people, what is your heart saying to you now? People will say, stop, don't row away, go back, pick those people up. You got a half empty boat. All right. Well, at a global level right now, the Titanic is going down. You see it going down. They got to kill thousands of people, bomb, invade countries to get their oil because they're so strung out on petroleum. That petroleum's going away. Bye-bye. Might be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. There's a debate about when, but nobody disagrees that it's going to go bye-bye. And what that means is that means our green economy that we're creating, an economy that is in love with ourselves and with Mother Nature, that subordinates money values to life values instead of subordinating life values to money values, that's going to win. Mother Nature is going to ensure that those of us who get our green economy surfboard up on her wave as she just wipes out all this petroleum-based crap that's been polluting our planet, melting the glaciers, raising the ocean levels, destroying the soil, polluting the groundwater, etc., etc. That economic crisis, that environmental breakdown, has a positive side. We're too much into the glass half empty kind of thing. Oh, Bush sucks. Oh, really? Gee, I didn't know that. Really? Bush sucks? You know, let's have parades and marches and tons of books about Bush sucks. That's easy. You know, you should be able to do that in a bumper sticker like Redefeat Bush or, you know, one of those. What we need to focus on is not the narrative about them. We need to focus on the narrative about us. What are we going to create to replace the Titanic as it goes down? I mean, just think, right? It's going down and people know it. So if we create this really cool wind and solar powered boat that pulls up alongside the Titanic and there's a big party like this going on deck, naked people with drinks in their hand dancing to cool music, they will jump willingly from the Titanic. We don't have to say, Titanic sucks, Titanic, capitalism sucks. The working class majority, they know that capitalism sucks because they say, thank God it's Monday? No, thank God it's Friday. There's all the critique of capitalism you ever need, right? Thank God it's right. What's Wednesday? Wednesday is hump day. Oh yeah, well the weekend's coming. Why? Because I can escape my work. Most working class people in this country, their greatest act of heroism on a given day is putting their feet on the floor in the morning. I mean, because they're going to a job they really don't like. Is it too hard for us to create jobs that are so meaningful that I wake up at 5:30 in the morning and say, I gotta go to work. I just love my job so much. Is that so hard to do? We can do that. We can. Not that we want to be workaholics, but dissolve the difference between work and play. Why should there be a barrier between what we call work and what we call play? I want to get paid a good salary to work with nice people in a green building that's creating the transition from money values violence, God is on our side, to life values nonviolence, God does not take sides in intra-species conflicts. That's the transition we're in. We're in this really scary transition, because when you're shifting from a paradigm that has dominated the planet for 500 years, what drove Columbus? Gold and silver. All the conquistadores that slaughtered the native peoples. They committed genocide for what? Money. Money. But they had God's approval, right? We're bringing them to Jesus. I'd love to see what Jesus would have to say about that, you know. He said, dude, you're going to fry, you know. It's about love, pal. when Jesus is confronted and they say, yeah, that Ten Commandments, that's Old Testament stuff, what's your two basic rules? He says, love God above all else. Call it the creative force of life, the universal energy that drives an acorn to become an oak, or the zygote when my mom and dad made love to me become who I am. That creative force of the universe, love that, tap into the power of that, the positive, abundant, forward-looking, right, life-giving energy of that, and love each other as you love yourself. That's really pretty simple. I think the guy was right. That's why they murdered him, right? That's why they murdered Martin Luther King at the age of 39 and Malcolm X at the age of 39, because they spoke the truth. They spoke a truth that was frightening to the people up on top. So the bad news, well, let me say a few words about Global Exchange. The website is globalexchange.org. I have some of my books up here if you want to see the books afterwards, you know, to prove that I am a real intellectual and write books, all that kind of thing. I think I was made to be like a stand-up comic in New York or something like that. Not an intellectual, but I got the PhD, all that kind of stuff, stands for piled high and deep. But the books are here in case you want to see them. And what we do at Global Exchange is we do a lot of different programs that try to fund themselves with their own activity, right? So our stores, we have four stores, Portland, San Francisco, Berkeley, and an online store that sell third world craft products that are produced by women's groups, peasant groups, literacy campaigns, people that are doing grassroots bottom-up development. They don't want charity. They don't want a subordinate relationship to some Rockefeller Foundation three-piece suit. Well, I don't think you should have a sewing factory, actually. What you should be doing... Dude, you don't live here. You know, you live in a $500,000 condo in New York. You don't know anything about our life. We got a pig-raising cooperative in rural Zimbabwe. So you meet a guy in a bar who's there to advise them. He's a Nebraska pig farmer. I say to him, what are you doing? He says, I'm helping this women's pig-raising cooperative. I say, how long you been here? He says, 6 months. I said, what have you done for him? He says, nothing, really. I say, you've been here 6 months, you haven't done anything to help them? He says, look, I have a totally different breed of pig, a totally different kind of pig raising. These women are innumerate, they don't know how to add and subtract, how are they gonna keep books? You come in and try and impose a US pig raising model on a rural Zimbabwean women's collective, it's not gonna work, because you're coming in with the arrogance of the full vessel, the banking concept of education. I'm full, you're empty, shut up, be passive, and I will fill you up. No, the dialogic model of education, where we are all equals, and we are all student teachers, teacher students, Paulo Freire, Pedagogy of the Oppressed, great Brazilian mind, right? Then that changes the whole spirit and the whole value structure of the relationship. These guys from the World Bank and the IMF, that's what I've done most of my work on. Now I'm shifting to the local green economy. But I spent 25 years picking apart all their documents and interviewing them, showing why their system does not work for the majority and it doesn't work for the environment. Now that I've written those 10 books and feel, okay, I proved that point. Now, what do we replace it with? What do we replace it with? Right? How do we get away from this top-down hierarchical stuff to flat, network, democratic, participatory? Everybody valued for their contribution. You see the guy that does that cart, that wired-out cart, the guy who's all physically challenged? He's out here providing a useful service, making money and making people happy and redefining people's hearts. What abled and disabled means, because all of us are disabled in one way or another. A lot of men can't love, they can't open up, they can't be vulnerable, they can't tell the truth. She might use that to hurt me. That's right, she might. Yeah, that's the risk. True love requires risk. Wow. You know, winning a football game requires risk, so shouldn't true love? Yes, true love will require risk. We could fail in the effort to create a global love revolution that will get us out of this shit we're in, into a sustainable life where we don't have to have a die-off. We don't have to have Al-Qaeda set off nuclear bombs in New York and Washington and Boston and LA and Seattle and destroy whole cities and take the whole US economy down with it. Is that the way we want to go? No, I don't want that way. I don't want that fight. The guy on the street who is not afraid of me at all, I have no deterrent against that guy. You don't want to get in a fight with that guy. You don't want to get into a pissing match with a skunk. Right? If somebody's a pisser, you want them inside the tent pissing out, not outside the tent pissing in. Abraham Lincoln said, one of our great minds, although neglected by the left, he said, the surest way to destroy an enemy is to make him your friend. Yeah. That's the only sure way to get rid of that enemy. You reach out. When we do real estate negotiations, we're trying to get a big building in San Francisco to do Green Mart, the opposite of Walmart, and make it work, make it pay for itself, good paying jobs, lots of commerce, but it's green commerce. It's healthy for the planet, healthy for people, healthy products, etc. You talk to these real estate people, and you realize their mistake is they're not seeing this physical property as a hub, as a platform to create big love. They're seeing it as a way to make some money. I put in X, and I want to take out X plus Y. Wow, man. You know, my 13-year-old is beyond that level of intellectual acumen already. You know, it's like, that's easy. Some of us have been there, done that, right? I know some people in this room that have, you know, built up major enterprises like Odwalla, and, you know, it's like, okay, we know how to do the enterprise thing if we hook it to a non-profit value structure where the point is not for me to have a cocaine habit, 3 mansions, and 5 BMWs, but it's to change the way people define love, to be big love instead of little love. Yeah, that's worth it. Then you're using that money for a good cause. The money is just a tool. A hammer, you can build a house with it, you can bash somebody's head in with it. It's how you use that tool. It's how it mediates social relations. And what we are learning now is how to take enterprise away from the capitalists and turn it to our own advantages. So our activity is not only educational and aesthetically pleasing, it also generates its own revenue. All right. So the bad news, go to our website. It's globexchange.org. We do tours. We take people out to other parts of the world. We did 142 reality tours last year. We did 90 to Cuba. Those are getting cut back now, but we'll still do them. We do illegal ones where we tell Congress and the President, yeah, we're going to Cuba. We know it's illegal. Come on. Come get us. Yeah. You want to fight? No, you don't want to fight openly because it's an election year, and it'd look real bad for you. Nah, 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 nah. We caught you with your pants down. You can figure this shit out. You live in Washington long enough and study it long enough, you see how it works. You go, okay, we can tweak it over here. It's like these massage people who, oh, you know, they get that, whoa, that little muscle there, that nerve. Whoa, what was that? You know, some little switch, right? So check out our website, please, globalexchange.org. I have some of our material here. Here's the bad news. I'll get the bad news over real fast, right? Bad news is we've got a triple crisis, the environmental crisis, all the systems breaking down. Every biological system is either degrading or in a state of outright collapse. Social crisis of growing inequality. The richest 20% of the people on the planet consume 86% of the world's resources. Let me repeat those numbers. The richest 20% of the world's people consume 86% of the world's resources. That means the poorest 80% of the world's people are trying desperately to survive and not doing too well at it, to survive on 14% of the world's resources. And that's a UN composite figure of food, wood, metal, minerals, energy, etc. Well, who's that 20% that's consuming 86% of the world's resources? It's us. It's us. Canada, Japan, England, France, the industrial countries, right? And all this stuff, the invading of Iraq, the aircraft carriers, the bombs, all that kind of stuff, it's about maintaining that inequality. My main area of study over the past 25 years has been U.S. foreign policy. The key theme, the key connecting thread of U.S. foreign policy is no third world country will set up an independent economy where they keep the wealth of their resources and labor within their country. You look at the history, right? 1953, there was democracy in Iran. You know, everybody's like, oh, Islamic dictatorship. Well, they had a democracy in 1953. Who overthrew it? The CIA. Us, with our tax money. Mohammad Mossadegh was not a communist. He was not in bed with Moscow. He was a liberal reformer who believed that the oil resources of Iran, easy for me to say, the oil resources of Iran should benefit the Iranian people, not Exxon and British Petroleum. Duh. That's somebody we'd vote for. And our government, through the CIA, overthrew him. 54, Guatemala, Jacobo Arbenz, moderate reformer, elected by his own people, was not a communist, overthrown by the U.S. government. Lumumba in the Congo, Goulart in Brazil, there's a list. What was their crime? They weren't communists. That was the pitch to the American people, because you got to say the American people were fighting a big guy. The big, bad Soviet empire, the big red bear. Yeah, it was so powerful it collapsed of its own fucked up internal undemocratic weight. Right? You know, oh, that's what had, when I was a kid in the 50s, they'd have us doing duck and cover drills, getting our jackets over our heads under the desks against the walls, because atom bombs were going to, you're taking a little kid, a 6 or 7 year old kid, saying, people are going to drop bombs on. So now they've replaced that with this Al-Qaeda terrorism thing. Communism, terrorism, communism. It's the same thing. Be afraid. Be very afraid. And while you're at it, be ignorant, because that helps you be more afraid. No, thank you. I don't like being afraid. I like living a life without any fear. Ah, wouldn't that be nice? You walk down the street and know that no one is going to molest you in any way that you don't approve of. Because sometimes you do want to get molested, let's face it. I mean, that's what massage is and all that. Right? Yeah. Please molest me. Take me, Daphne. Yeah. So the second crisis is the social crisis of increasing inequality. The third crisis is the moral, spiritual crisis of people doing this. I don't see it. What are you talking about? I don't see no crisis, man. Oh, I'm busy. I got a dentist appointment. I'm building up my career. Once I get financially secure, then I'll do something for people and planet. I'm still waiting for that guy. That guy never shows up because he gets so focused on his own little ego and his own little physical package. And, you know, if you want to prove to people that you are not this package, it's very simple. You have a very distinct set of inside-outside sense about what it is to be a human being. And you can prove it very easily. All day long, right now, you're swallowing spit. Every time you have a sore throat, you realize, wow, I didn't know I swallowed that many times in a day. You know, you're swallowing spit all the time. Okay, take a glass of water and go, and spit into that glass of water, and then go to drink it. And your body will react against that because the spit is now outside the bag of skin. So because our sensory apparatus are contained inside this bag of skin, we have the illusion that other people in the rest of nature is separate from me. And I define me as this physical package and whatever I own and control. You know, physical asset. Well, that's wrong. That's just wrong. You are the interconnectivity with other people, with nature. Could you live without the sun? Could you live without other people? You say to people, which is more important, your heart or the sun? You can't. Which is more important, oxygen or your lungs? You can't choose. They're part of the same system. They're all interconnected. And we create false boundaries in our consciousness, in our spirit, in our love muscle. Oops. You know what I mean. I meant this love muscle, not the other love muscle. You know, what is it? What's better than 12 roses on a piano, tulips on an organ? I don't know. What was that joke? I don't remember it, really. Just to be serious for a moment. But think, every one of those has a positive component. And what we need to do in our heads is create the methodology of always saying, oh, that's nice, Dan. You've given me the glass half empty. What's the glass half full of that, what you just said? Because we're such crybabies and whiners. About, oh, the system sucks. The environment's being destroyed. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we know that. Now, what's the glass half full? Right? Where's the yin to the yang? Where's the balance to your negative equation? You got all minuses in there. We're destroying everything. We're evil. It's in yes, right. Empire is not a cool thing. Never has been, never will be. When people come from one place to another place and oppress people and hurt them, that is wrong. My father grew up in Ireland. He came over to the United States in his 20s. He was illiterate. He didn't get a chance to go to school. He was a genius. He was an absolute genius. He knew people's hearts. When he died, the funeral home was packed with people. You couldn't find a space in a massive parking lot. He had no money. He had no power. He had no status. He had no college degrees. But he was loved by thousands of people because he was a good man. He was just a good man. Like Jesus and Martin Luther King and the Bodhisattva and all these other great spiritual leaders. They were just good human beings. They operated on a principle of kindness. Because the other is not the other, it's you. There is no them. It's all us. I mean, there's the fundamental spiritual insight. There's no them. Because the guys in power are trying to get us into them and us, them and us. It's the Islamic versus the Christian, or the communist versus the capitalist, or the white versus the black, or the man versus the woman. No. There's no them. It's all us. So every one of these crisis points has a positive side. The social crisis of inequality allows us to go out and create a thing called FLOW, Fair Trade Labeling Organizations. This was started like 3 or 4 decades ago. It's now a massive global economy of nonprofit organizations that go out to the coffee farms and the cocoa farms and the tea plantations and document that the workers are treated right, they get good pay, it's organic, everything is cool and copacetic, and then that gets a seal that says Fair Trade Certified. And if you see that Fair Trade Certified symbol, that rectangle, it's got a black and white stick figure holding scales of justice, and it says Fair Trade Certified. If you're willing to spend an extra 2 or 3 cents per latte, for that $3 latte, it means that coffee bean farmer is going to get a 300 to 400% increase in the money they get for their beans. The fair trade price is $1.26. If it's not organic, most of it is organic, the organic price is $1.40 a pound. There's some farmers in Central America that are getting 7 cents a pound for their coffee beans, right? Because they're poor farmers. They're up in the mountains. They don't have a truck. Harvest time comes. The guy shows up with a truck, says, I'll give you 7 cents a pound for your coffee beans. Farmer says, wait a minute. I was listening to the radio. I heard the radio said the world market price is 45 cents. You're going to offer me 7 cents? The guy says, fuck you. I'm here with the truck. You want to sell your beans? I'm giving you 7 cents. You want to sell it to the radio, go sell it to the radio. Radio's not going to buy your beans. I'm here with the truck now. What's this guy going to do? Put the bag on his back? He's not rich enough to own a donkey. When we brought a fair trade coffee farmer from Nicaragua up to San Francisco, when we convinced, cajoled, coerced, the city government of San Francisco to only buy fair trade certified beans, we did a big press ceremony. And we brought up a fair trade coffee farmer from Nicaragua to pour the first cup with the mayor. This was back under Willie Brown, right? So, of course, the media is there, Univision, Telemundo, the Spanish stations, and they put the cameras on this little humble farmer. He's got on his cowboy hat and his boots. Never been out of the country. We had to get him a passport, all that kind of stuff. They say, what does fair trade mean to you? He says, I had to turn away. I started to cry. He said, it means that now I have a donkey to help me carry the beans, these big heavy sacks of beans down the hill on its back instead of me having to be the beast of burden. Are we asking too much that the people who create our food, the things that get us going in the morning, don't have to live like animals? Is that ask? I don't think that's asking too much. I think that's asking very little. I think we're being very humble and meek and mild-mannered in our request. But see, now, ever since we shut down that WTO meeting in Seattle back in late 99, they realize, hey, you got a tiger by the tail here, pal. When the people get pissed off, they can put 15 million people out in the streets globally to say no to war back last February, right? 15 million is the low estimate. It was probably 30 million. The last Sunday of August, mark this on your calendar, it's World Says No to Bush Day. It's like August 29th when the Republican Party convention is starting in New York. Not all of us can go to New York, but don't worry. The folks in that area got it under control. They're going to... There are people doing things like buying 50,000 little bells, really nice bells, really nice sharp sound, and they'll just go around ringing those bells so these Republicans know, you're in our house. You're in our house. You better behave. You better think about your behavior because you're in our house. We're the majority. We're the people, right? Who are supposed to govern the country, right? That's what democracy means. People rule. So every one of these crises, the environmental crisis, means that wind energy is now price competitive with coal, and wind energy cost per kilowatt hour is going like this, coal is going like that. It means that organic food costs more, right? The left take on that is negative. Oh, that means poor people can't buy it. Yeah, right. We know that. So the question is, how do we fix that? How do we skim off that extra profit you make from organic food and make sure it's controlled by some kind of nonprofit agency that's going to put it back into the grassroots? Capital is like horse shit. If you concentrate it in a big pile, it stinks. If you spread it out evenly, it makes things grow. Capital is just like horse shit. And on the moral, spiritual side, there's a positive side as well, because think, Dante says, the hottest parts of hell are reserved for those who in times of moral crisis maintain their neutrality. You don't have to side with the bad guys. You just got to maintain your neutrality. Oh, I didn't see the accident happen, officer. I don't know how that kid got run over. I'm just an innocent bystander. I don't want to write my name down. I don't want to get called into court. I didn't. No, you want to be involved, right? That's what karma means. You are involved. It doesn't mean you're to blame. It means you are involved. You are responsible. You are able to respond. And it is only by crippling your emotional and spiritual connectedness to the rest of the cycle of life that you can deny that you are connected. So people get all neurotic and they're going to psychiatrists and taking drugs. And no. Hugs, family, neighborhood, community, real community, and not counterfeit community. You know, oh, call into the CNN poll and tell us what you think about it. That's counterfeit community. That doesn't connect you to them. That connects you to somebody who wants to sell your name and address. You're a commodity. It's just refined slavery. Slavery was the marketing of human bodies. The current commercial media is the marketing of human minds, human consciousness. We are not the consumer of the mass media. We are the product being marketed. The consumer is the corporate advertiser that pays the bills. That's where the money comes from, right? That's why half a minute on Super Bowl Sunday costs you so much money, because they're delivering up more eyeballs, more brains for you to influence. It's the attention economy, right? Well, some of us grew up in the 60s. We're so stoned, we can't pay attention to anything. Yeah, we're just out there on some other planet. So what we try to do is try and put a positive turn on this, say we can fix it. So all this, these books I've done about empire. See, just to go back to my dad was a victim of British colonialism, right? The British first came into Ireland in 1169, over 800 years ago, and they crushed the Irish people so bad that it is the only country. It's a trivia question. Trivia is the wrong word. It should be significa. Somebody should do a game of significa. It's like trivia, but stuff that matters. Somebody could make a lot of money doing that. You know, free idea. Run with it. And you could tap a bunch of intellectuals, go to websites, have all these great things, you know. Why is it that when you get car sick or air sick, there's a tendency to empty the gut? Simple thing, everybody knows about it, but nobody knows why it happens. Because as we evolved as human beings, we were eating carrion, whatever dead meat was laying around, right? If you didn't have a good poison response, you died off. And the genes of people without a good gag reflex died off. So current humans, the current human race, has a very good poison response. When your senses are out of whack with what your physical body is experiencing, your body thinks you've been poisoned and it says, empty the gut. So when you're getting air sick, you gotta say to yourself, I am not poisoned. You know, it keeps you from puking on the guy in front of you, which that's a good social service, right? So the power that we have because of the crisis, we're the fire brigade that comes in and says, we can put out that fire and get that kid out of that upstairs window. People will go, oh, we love you, right? And think about it. When you're trying to motivate individuals and get them to become activists, this is a simple test. You say to people, okay, you're away from home, and your house, God forbid, catches on fire, and one of your loved ones, a child perhaps, is caught in an upstairs window screaming for help, and there's only one person walking by on the street who can hear their screams for help. Do you want that one person walking by to be a cynic or an activist? Oh yeah, you want him to be an activist because it's your loved one whose ass is at stake, huh? Yeah, but when it's the others, them, well, I'm busy. I got a dentist appointment. I'm working on my career. I got final exams. There's always an excuse. Right? There's always an excuse. No, you got to shoulder that door. You got to get into that fire and get that kid out of there. Well, the house is on fire. That's the global environmental crisis. The child is screaming at the window. That's the social inequality crisis. And the question for us is, we're going to shoulder that door? You damn right we're going to shoulder that door. That's what this is about. This is, boom! This is the first shoulder up against the door where the door moves a little bit. It didn't open, but you see that it's openable. Come on, let's throw ourselves into this thing. Boosh! And you take it down and you go get that kid out. And there's a life that was saved. Because you found the courage inside you, which we all have. We know it's there. We all have fleeting moments of it, just like we all have fleeting moments of being so scared we think we're going to wet our pants. Or we do wet our pants. There's a saying in street fighting, if you've never shit your pants out of fear, you've never been really afraid. In combat, mortar round lands nearby, whoo! Guys just shit their pants. So not only is it bad and dangerous, it's so embarrassing. You know, it's like, what'd you do? What's that wet spot? It's in our hands. We have the power. You know that saying, power corrupts? Powerlessness corrupts. And absolute powerlessness corrupts absolutely. If government is bad, that's our fault. This is supposed to be government of the people, by the people, for the people, not government of the corporations, by the corporation, for the corporations. They took it away from us. It's time for us to take it back. So the mistake they made was letting us watch Errol Flynn as Robin Hood when we were kids. Get that original movie. He gets Olivia de Havilland at the end. Come on. You know? He gets to go and shoot these bad guys. You know, not, I mean, we're into nonviolence and all, but he's such a cool rogue. So all we have to do is figure out how can we do what he did but without the violence? Just without the arrows into the chest shit. You know? We can do that. We can do that. Right? Because These institutions, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, that control hundreds of billions of dollars and are supposedly so influential, do they have one third world country that they've controlled that is a success that they can point to? Not one. If you raised 80 kids and all of them turned out fucked up, don't you think they'd want you neutered? Really, I mean, there'd be a big public ceremony to shorten you up, you know? You're gonna talk like this from now on. So there's a lot of distraction with Bush killing people in the Middle East. And look, you know, for those of you guys who grew up working class like I did with, you know, the guys with the guns in the back of the pickup truck and the Let's Square Dance, support your local police bumper stickers and all that kind of thing. Hey, I'm in with that. I'm in with shooting pool and drinking beer and all that, talking tough kind of stuff. You really want to be a tough guy? The tough guy is the guy who, when the baby cries in the middle of the night, says, honey, you stay asleep. I'll feed the baby. I'll take care of the baby. I'll change the diaper. It's not about fighting. It's not about killing. Think how many red-blooded macho American men are walking around thinking, yeah, we kicked Iraq's ass. They didn't have one plane in the air. A small country the size of California, one of the most ancient civilizations in humankind, and we destroyed it. I've been to Iraq. I was to Iraq before we destroyed it, right? Museums with artifacts that are 5,000 years old. The United States is a few hundred years old. And we go in there and they have no air force functioning. Right? And just blow the shit out of it. Cluster bombs. A cluster munition is a large canister that has hundreds of bomblets. It's about the size of a tennis ball. It's got a high explosive called Minol inside it. And the metal casing is serrated. So when that Minol blows, you've got razor blades traveling at about 1,000 miles an hour. It hits you in the ankle and it shatters the bone up into the knee. The doctors don't know what to do. They've never seen injuries like this. Our scientists devised it. Our tax money paid for it. Our brothers and sisters delivered it and slaughtered people who didn't even have an air force to defend themselves. That's the glass half empty. From the Iraqi side, what's the glass half full? These guys aren't idiots. Let's assume that the Iraqi generals are as smart as we are. What would we do if we were going to get invaded by the U.S. military? We'd say, all right, here's what we do. We fake a little bit of opposition. We take the draftees and put them out there and absorb some of the kill power. But we hide a lot of weapons and money, and we just dissolve into the ground. And then they come in and they get set up. And once they get set up, we pick them off a few at a time. And that's exactly what they're doing. And that is... that country right now, the U.S. situation in that country is the definition of quagmire. And you got young American people who think they're doing the right thing, protecting freedom, blah, 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 not oil profits. Ask people this. Say, if the major export of Iraq were broccoli, would there be any U.S. troops in Iraq? I doubt it. It's going to be the largest U.S. embassy in the world, thousands of U.S. embassy personnel in Baghdad. How are you going to protect them all? You're going to have two or three armed guards on every one of those State Department personnel, CIA personnel, et cetera. They're so whackable. You can walk up on the street with a 9mm automatic or a small Beretta, a 380 or something like that, and just, boo, pop somebody in the back of the head and walk away. They're dead. What was that loud noise? Might have been a firecracker. I don't know. Totally vulnerable. You cannot take over someone else's turf without them devising some culture of resistance. It might be violent, it might be nonviolent, but they're not just gonna lay down. If somebody invaded this country and tried to take it over, shit, the truck drivers alone would stop it. They got semis, CB radios, amphetamines in a fake oil can, and a gun under the seat. Shit, man, that's all we need. You could do a revolution in this country with just the truck drivers. Which trade union historically has been the most corrupted and penetrated by evil influence? The Teamsters. Sure. Because the people who run the system realize, shit, you can't have those guys go left. If they get some popular politics, they could shut down the whole economy. Because everything that's here, everything we wear, everything that's here got here by truck. It rode on a truck at some part of its life in its commodity cycle. Right? So these guys are thinking. They're not just evil. They're smart. They're smart. They got all sorts of data and shit like that. They got the guns and the money. We have facts and moral authority. Moral authority says, get the kid out of the fire. Moral authority says, if your friend drops their food on the floor and start crying, say, hey, it's okay, we'll wash it off. It's okay. Right? Everybody knows kids, little kids. I used to do it with my two daughters. We played the moral authority game. if this happens, which is the better thing to do, this or this? And they always get it right. You do the kind, loving, generous thing, right, to create more abundance in the world. So there's all this focus on Bush and the military and all this stuff, but the real basis of empire is the transnational corporation. And the model is, I only come in and invest in your area if I'm really sure I can take out more wealth than I put in. Otherwise, why would I do it? When Walmart comes into Eugene or Portland or San Francisco, they're expecting to take away more money than they put in. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it in the first place. Well, what's the antidote to that? The antidote to that is the local economy. And because the big corporations are not green, they're destroying nature, the antidote to that is the green economy. The local green economy is our strongest tool, weapon, if you want to be more militant, against empire, against imperialism. Because it says, the way to meet our social needs is here in the bioregion, right? I mean, you can get everything you need within the local bioregion, whatever particular bioregion. You know, people think, oh, there's starvation in Africa. Africa produces way more calories than are needed, but it's calories in coffee and cocoa and tea and sugar and cotton and beef and stuff that's getting exported by big companies. We don't give a shit about starving children. Does it sound like I'm pissed off? I'm beyond pissed off. I got enough anger for 10 people, but I'm trying to channel it, okay? When you be in refugee camps in Mozambique, someplace, and you are watching a child die in your lap, and you're watching your tears fall onto that child, and you see that child die, and you see the parents try to throw themselves into the grave because they're so brokenhearted by that, that changes you. But it changes you in a good way. It fires you inside like a good fire fires metal. It strengthens it. Because if you can come through on the other side of that, you're going to be beatific, right? You're going to be calm inside. There's going to be a center of calm because you have come close to the fire, right? You felt it very deeply. You've let yourself be taken over by it. You cry all night and can't get to sleep. You wake up in the morning and feel better for having stayed up all night crying your eyes out. No more water in your head. I need a drink. Bad. Water. Water. That's good for you because it fires your soul for the coming struggle. And it will be a struggle. There are going to be some really ugly things happen. And the antidote to ugly is beauty. It's love, right? Dr. King said, you cannot drive out darkness with darkness. Only light can do that. You cannot drive out hate with hate. Only love can do that. I was a firefighter. You don't fight fire with fire. You fight fire with water, right? You suppress it. You take away its oxygen supply, right? So when people are doing the negativity thing, oh, we can't do it, man, we're powerless. You give them a dose of the social immune system, say, no, we can do it if we believe in our capability to do it. No copping out. No getting away in the lifeboat half full. Come on. You know, stop that film at that point and ask people, what's the right thing to do? Pick everybody up. So we know the answers. The technology is out there, the green technology. Our products are worth more than the bullshit capitalists destroy nature products, etc. So we got into this green economy thing. By the way, we're pushing an idea, buy local month. Buy local month is December. It's between Thanksgiving, starts the day after Thanksgiving, that big shopping day, until New Year's, where we spread the word, buy local. During December, buy local. So we don't have to protest Walmart, we bankrupt them. Take their customers away, right? Make up nice little signs, put in the store windows, locally owned store. You know, you get the local Chamber of Commerce on board, they like it. It's more money for them. You educate the community about these big parasitic corporations coming in and wrecking our communities. Let me give you just one little bit of data here, make it seem like I'm intellectual. Dr. Thomas Lyson, Cornell, studied 225 counties across the United States, comparing counties that were dominated by large companies and those that were mainly small mom and pop companies. Counties dominated by large transnational companies, one, had higher crime rates, two, had lower educational achievement, three, had greater income inequality, four, had smaller independent middle class, less opportunities, right? Five, fewer owner-occupied homes, higher levels of worker disability, and lower levels of civic disengagement. So there's all this ripple effect in the community of locally owned, locally controlled, as opposed to the big corporations. I won't give you a lot of this data. It's, you know, it's very convincing. I've gone through it. So what we started doing 3 years ago, it was a thing called the Green Festival. We do it in San Francisco the weekend in November after the elections when everybody needs a party. Bush won, Kerry won, Obama, you know, whatever. And what it is about 300 green economy companies. It's an indoor event, about 125,000 square foot hall. A few hundred, it's sold out already. The booths are all sold out. There's like a couple booths left, you know, out of 300. A lot of really good speakers, Greg Palast, Amy Goodman, Jim Hightower, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Really good live music, organic food, organic beer and wine, et cetera, et cetera, right? So a huge party, 20,000 people, the ant pile, like here, where we are able to realize that spiritual insight. We are not separate units. We're not like billiard balls. We connect. Oh, Joey's got Green Festival cards. If you want a card reminder with the website and the 800 number and all that, just grab one from Joey Shep, our web genius, web maestro. We are in your debt. This guy throws up websites like, I don't know, make a really nasty scatological comparison, but. The Green Festival, people keep coming up to say, oh, dude, this is so much fun. How often can you do it? It takes 11 months to plan it and raise all the money. It's like a $400,000 event, right? Not easy. So I said, well, wait a minute. Could do it every day. If you had a building, if you had Green Mart, and the good news is 2 days ago we had a meeting with the owners of a building. It's called the Townsend Center. It's a 690,000 square foot building. It's got 600 parking spaces interior to the building. The concourse level has 22 foot ceilings, 100,000 square feet, truck ramps that go down into that level. It's perfect for exhibit. So that's going to be the Green Economy Everything Store, Green Mart. There'll be a section that's the green construction industry where all the builders will come to order their windows and solar panels and all that kind of stuff. A spa, you know, where it's all hippie groovy, you know, all the cool stuff that we're into. And the stationary bicycles and rowing machines generate electricity for the building, you know. You get a water fountain that's circled by these bicycles that generate electricity, and they're hooked to little water squirters out in the thing, and you get on it and you start pedaling and start squirting the water. Guys will get into this, right? Phallic piece. Hey, let's get 10 of us up here and see whose fountain can go higher. You know, it's so unsubtle, most guys will just go for it, right? Guys are kind of like dogs, you know, it's like you feed them and they're loyal, you know, just feed me, I'll be loyal. No offense, gender jokes are bad, I know. But think, what you do is you split that wire, only half of the electricity they're generating is powering the pump to shoot that squirter, the other half is going into the system, into the building system, they're helping power the building. And you tell them, you make it transparent, there's a little monitor on the saying, oh, you're now powering 4 fluorescent light bulbs. If you pedal harder, you could power a computer, you know. And then you get a spin-off industry where you sell it to people in their homes, so if the kid wants to watch TV, sure, you can watch TV as long as you keep the power going. Kids are, kids losing tons, you know, just losing weight. Oh, you almost made it to the end of that show. Too bad, man. Work out a little bit. Eat less hamburgers and french fries. Maybe you'll get there, dude. So what we said to these guys is, look, we want to buy into this building. And what they're open to is they're open to us taking like a condominium stake of 250,000 square feet. Now, of course, we've got to work out the contracts, the pricing, all that kind of stuff. But the fact that they're open to it, the website of the building is 650townsend, 650townsend.com. You look at this building, it's just amazing. The atrium is about 5,000 square feet. I mean, way bigger than this area in here. It goes up 6 stories with balconies all around. It's got a stage down on the ground floor. So we're going to put in a radio TV live booth opposite it on the next floor balcony up above it with the glass bent out like at the baseball stadium. So they can do live. Bonnie Raitt's going to play. Your radio station want to put it live on the air? Oh, yeah. You going to charge me anything for the use of the studio? No. Because you're going to promote this address, and you're going to bring your hundreds of thousands of listeners to this address, and they're going to leave some money behind. And because it's owned by a nonprofit, that money gets plowed back into the revolution, right? In one form or another. Apprenticeship programs for youth, create good, meaningful jobs, do events, organize protests, grow the green economy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So time's getting short. I want to have time for interaction because this is really this didactic stuff, one way. The word is co-communication, right? Co, it's supposed to go back and forth. So I want to shut up and give you guys a chance to scream epithets at me or make speeches or something. Or ask questions. I don't know. And I'm trying to think of one last word to leave you with, but let's wait on that and have you give some words. People want to... Yes, sir. People hear the question. I know where you're going with it, and there's a good answer to it, and that is, see, what I talked about was just the price of the coffee. He's talking about the fair trade coffee farmers. It's not just the price of the coffee. They get credit at a reasonable interest rate. They get technical assistance going organic. They get help building schools, help building clinics. It's part of a whole social network, right? It's not just subvert the market. And it's the same principle that exists in community-supported agriculture. You get a few dozen families, they go to the farmer directly and say, let's cut Safeway out of this. You'll get a better price as the farmer. You as the farmer will know your harvest price at planting time. That does not exist in the capitalist market. We have the ability, through creating relationships and partnerships, to subvert the capitalist market and just cut it out and say, no, we're going to do it by an agreement, by a contract. Right? Cut Safeway out of it. All that money that's wasted... You get better, we get better. In San Francisco, you get home delivery from a network of organic farms. You tell them what fruits and vegetables you like. You pay like a subscription fee. It shows up at your door, you know? And that's community-supported agriculture 20 years ago. It didn't exist in the United States. Now, it's taken off like a grass fire. There's a book we have in our office. It's a big format book, this thick, How to Do Community-Supported Agriculture. So now imagine this. Imagine we get this building up in San Francisco, and it's the green economy. The basic concept is link the offices, the groups like Sierra Club, ACLU, Mother Jones, Global Exchange, the City Department of the Environment, etc. We're renting the offices. We're all promoting the same address, which is the green economy store, whose profits are trapped in the building, thus lowering our rents and infrastructure costs. You develop that prototype just like a CD software prototype. First one, yeah, it takes a long time and a lot of money. Next one, easier, price goes down. Price curve goes like this. These little watches used to cost $300. Now they give them away. It's $2, $3, right? So that means we'll have the capacity to go to other cities, Portland, Seattle, Buenos Aires, Paris, Johannesburg, and say to people, if you get together all your green economy companies and good progressive nonprofits and people that want to see this vision implemented, we will give you our learning curve, our knowledge, the CDs, the videotapes, how we raised the money, how we acquired the property, which lawyers to go to. You know, you need a real estate lawyer and an accounting lawyer. I didn't know that. You got to have a specialized real estate lawyer. The real estate lawyer we have, he gets paid $450 an hour, and he's worth every damn penny of it because he saves you millions in the end. And he's a nice guy from New Jersey. We met, and it was like 5 seconds we had bonded. Just totally cool guy. Has a whole floor of the Transamerica building. The firm is Stein and Lubin. He's the Stein, Bob Stein. And he's one of us. He's not a bad guy. He's on our side. Yeah, baby. We got people like that and people with really deep pockets, and we put it together creatively. Ain't nothing we can't change. But what we want to do is, if we bang out 400 or 500 of these around the world, you give me McDonald's ad budget for 1 year, that's $2 billion, right? That's enough to do it around the world. That's enough to do 400 buildings like that. But then there's also a rural facility that's a working organic community-supported agriculture farm. It's a retreat center. It's a permanent ruckus training camp, nonviolent revolution training camp. And it's a retirement center for aging leftists, right, who have a lot of money. And then there's an eco-industry institution of reclaimed urban brownfields that you do eco-industry, producing products that are used a lot in the local economy, like coffee cups, but you do them as recycled, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll create an alternative economy, local green economy, to replace this big corporate thing, which is collapsing. It's coming down. The structure is coming down. We got to build within that a safety dome, another system. So we got to wrap up here. One other. Yes, sir.
What, you talk about terrorism. One of the more insidious forms of terrorism, in my mind, is the chemical onslaught. There's 80,000 chemicals out there in the environment for national security. Is there an Achilles heel?
Yeah, I would see the gentleman's raising the question about the chemical poisoning of us and our environment by these big chemical corporations. The Pentagon actually is the biggest polluter in the United States, interestingly. What is it again?
Bodyburden.com.
Right, so there's a couple different levels of activity. One is the stuff you can do personally about not putting crap in your body and trying to be careful about it. But that's just at an individual level. At the social level, what we have to deal with is corporate power, because that's what this is about. Whether it's the destruction of our agriculture, the bad housing situation, people homeless while there's vacant houses, you know, all these problems. It's about corporate power. It's about our government has been taken over by large corporations, and all they know is money. That's their value system, money values. We're talking life values. All they know is money values. In fact, they are sort of constrained by law to maximize profits. If you don't maximize profits, and I'm a shareholder, I can sue your ass. So what we have to figure out is how to navigate that ship while we're disassembling it and take it into a less dangerous course. So we do two activities. One is the protest activity outside the pipe where the effluent is coming out, and we try and deflect it from hurting people and planet. The other is to go around inside the factory and retool the factory so it doesn't put out effluent in the first place. Bill McDonough says, take the exhaust pipe of the car and put it into the cabin of the car and tell the engineers to make that okay. That's the design challenge, and it already exists. Hydrogen fuel cell car, you can do that because all it comes out is water. Global Exchange, if you go to the website, globalexchange.org, or if you want to call, we have an 800 number if anybody wants to write it down. It's 497-1994, 497-1994, and it's an 800 because we bought it a long time ago. None of that 888 shit. We don't go for that. So thank you very much for your patience. I appreciate it.